Hi, I'm Stargate Pioneer from Better Podcasting, a proud member of the Gonna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GonnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John Lobster. It may be immortal, but you are not. This is Legends of Halloween.
And this has nothing to do with Halloween whatsoever. But
it's okay. A creepy French story. The way I put it is, first we saw London, now we see France. Next week?
America. Okay.
Somebody's underpants.
Okay, we're going to talk about this movie.
All right, so here this is Brotherhood of the Wolf, or Le Pacte des Loups, from 2001.
Your French is so good.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, that was a co-production with, if I remember Canal Plus. Canal Plus?
Yeah, Canal, like. Studio Canal, yeah.
Yeah, with Canada. So I actually worked on that as a... God, when you finish your college year, they put you in a couple of movie sets, sure, before you graduated.
That's, you did like an internship, what we, yeah, would call an internship? Or
yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess that's it. So I work on a lot of scenes that were in the wood with a practical beast. And that's going to be very important later.
Okay.
Because so most of the work that I did was cut and replaced by some horrible CGI.
Oh, effect. That is a beautiful beast, that CGI, yeah, they got rolling.
Yeah, like halfway through the shooting, they were like, yeah, that beast is not working. And we were like, wait, what? We've been like... No, we've been working our ass off for like 2.5 months on this shit.
The real deal, hauling it around.
Yeah.
In the wilds of Quebec. So this is a French film made by a French director with French actors.
Yes.
Mostly, right? But it wasn't filmed in France. It was filmed in Quebec.
And Ontario, mostly.
Ontario.
Yeah.
So what's interesting about this is... So this is post 9/11, which I remember this coming out in, was it released post 9/11 or did it come out?
No, here it came out just, okay, before, because it came out during the summer. That was the big, right, French summer movie with Vincent Cassel. You know, that was something. So
IMDb.
But I'm not sure we have the same release date.
Oh yeah,
though.
It was June. It was June. So wait, here it was released in February, maybe?
Yeah, that's it. We don't have the same release date because, no offense, yeah, but you usually can't take the same kind of movie we can. So we re-edit most of this. And one of the things that's funny is that most of that movie was shot bilingual. So you were shooting one shot in French, one shot in English. Oh. You were switching actors.
It was released in January here. So it was kind of in the dumping ground. But this was interesting because this was like post 9/11. And I remember being kind of interested about this because there were a lot of movies that they had to can or reschedule. So there weren't like a lot of action movies in that point in time.
Yeah, and because after 9/11, you loved French people so much. So,
we wanted our freedom fries.
So between the freedom fries and releasing a movie, they decided to wait a little bit.
But I just remember seeing the trailers for this, probably on television. And I remember a couple years earlier, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon came out. And that led kind of this wave of interest in Asian cinema and particularly Asian action movies. And I remember this.
You compare this to that?
Oh, wait.
Kind of like a mashup of steampunk, Matrix meets like... French romantic Victorian fantasy and werewolf movie.
He's yeah, kind let's of put like, that in concept.
He's kind of like a jack of all trades, though, too. He's like, you know, the man's man. He's a scientist, a philosopher.
Sure.
Yeah, he's not far off from
he's not far off from Johnny Depp's character in Sleepy Hollow, who is like a detective, but he's a pathologist. So this guy is a detective knight, but he's also a taxidermist and a zookeeper.
Yeah, but let's just put this movie in context for a second. This is a movie that is straight post-Matrix. This is 2001.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's been written and conceptualized post-Matrix, and... those freeze frames during action shot were Zack Snyder, horrible.
Zack Snyder saw this movie and went, shit, yes, I want to do that.
Yeah, so we have a Indian that does kung fu that is played by an actor that's from Honolulu.
Yes, a Hawaiian man.
Yeah. I don't know where they learn kung fu. I have no idea. And that bugs me so much. I'm sorry, but Native American don't fight like they went to China for 6 months. Sure. It bugs me every time. The scenes are super well shot, even if I don't like the editing with the freeze frames and all that. But every time he's doing something, it bugs me because I'm like, oh my God. I was sure the actor was Asian. That's why I know he's from Honolulu because I researched it.
Right.
So I was like, God.
Many.
Yeah.
So one of the other things that is kind of going on is everything is so mellow dramatic. Like every shot, every moment of the film is like super stylized and everything is just kind of heightened. And one of the things about this movie is it's long. Like we watched the director's cut, which I think comes in at 2.5 hours. This
235,
and then I look at the case and it says 40 minutes of deleted scenes, and I was like, holy shit, what else is there? But apparently there's more stuff that's not in the movie. I didn't watch them. I returned it.
So much stuff, but you have to think of one other thing though. They were shooting in 3 different locations, which gave them 3 different tax breaks. So they were shooting extra stuff because they needed to stay X number of days everywhere to get that tax break. And it's better to spend the money to be there 2 extra days and shoot possible extra stuff than not getting the tax break. So there's a lot of that weird things with these French Canadian co-productions that goes into it, which gives you a lot of extra material. But yes, we watched the French version. Beef watched the American cut, I would call. And I'm pretty sure, first of all, I'm pretty sure you miss Monica Bellucci's nakedness a lot.
I saw some of her nakedness.
Okay, so I'm wondering what did they cut?
There's a bit of nudity, for sure.
Yep. Then what did they cut?
Did they cut the incest rape?
No. Oh, maybe. Nope, that was in there.
No. So that maybe they cut one of the 1,000 shots of the nature. I watched The Revenant just before that. That's a really bad idea because you watch 2.5 hours of wood and then you pass to this one being like, oh, there's going to be some action. And between the little guy doing some kung fu for maybe 20 minutes, it's more shots of woods and
lovingly
trees.
Lovingly caressing the landscape throughout the movie.
Crap. Yeah,
I actually kind of found it okay.
I really like this movie. It looks God I mean, help
it's,
me.
It's cool to look at. It is shot really well. But I don't.
It's shot okay. Parts of it are shot well. Parts of it are
the action
shot,
scenes are shot pretty well. And like
I
some
agree
of the,
with Wing that some of it is a little too hyper stylized. Like again, I'll call it over accessorizing. You know, when you're getting ready to go out and they say, okay, well, whatever you've got on, like, subtract one thing. Like, he just has too many camera tricks that he does.
Agreed. The other part of the movie that I find weird is when the knight goes back to France with the fake beast and then comes back to battle the real beast. All that part I find convoluted and kind
and
of
okay,
useful.
What did she give him? Did she poison him and then bring him back 12 hours right. later after his heart was stopped? Or
so,
was it like puffer fish?
This is one of the best movies because about 2/3 of the way through the film, both of your main characters are dead. Like both of your protagonists that you're following have now died and been buried or cremated.
And for a second, you think that you're going to be liberated
from that long movie. Okay, nobody wins. Fine, it's done. But then they bring him back.
There's no sequel, huh?
Well, they talked about poison in the AM, antidote at night. But I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't make sense. This is like the old get out of jail thing. And then when they're hunting the beast, it's like the predator traps. I'm like, oh, those are taken right out of Predator.
Agreed.
You were saying the sequel, but this is actually like also based on historical events as well. So like there's a backstory to the beast of, say it for me, Wing.
Oh God, I don't even remember it's like it.
Gevaudan. How would you say that in French?
I'm sorry.
Sure. The Beast of Gevaudan. This is like a true story, and I posted in our little side chat this National Geographic article where they go and they research it, and they figure out that it actually probably was a lion that had escaped from captivity and just went around killing a bunch of people because it was a lion in Europe, and that's what it did.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit like revisionist historical movie, if you want. Yes, there was a piece of Gevaudan and all that.
I'm gonna try it because you said my French was good. Gevaudan.
Oh, Gevaudan. Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, that was perfect.
Okay, good.
So there was a story or legend of a beast over there, and that ended up being like what you see presented at the court. The fake beast and all that jazz, but that's pretty much where the story ends. So basically, when the story ends, when they're in France, the part that I said I didn't like is basically to give credence to the story being like, see, we're representing the real story, but then we're gonna go on our tangent and we're gonna have Vincent Cassel rape, not technically kill his sister.
Well, which, almost raped to death his sister. Yeah.
Yeah, but she still lives happily ever after at the end. I was like, wow.
Okay. On their pirate ship. It's fine. Yeah,
we went there. Wow. I don't know we needed to go there. Did we? Did that add anything to the story?
No.
Okay.
What was the name of the ship, too? It was a reference to the movie. I forgot to write it down.
And I wanted to forget that movie as soon as I finished.
Biggest star to come out of this movie, Vincent Cassel, actually, probably. Maybe was a star already.
Yeah, he was more like the Marlon Brando of the project.
Right. He goes on to do other things you've seen him in. He's in Black Swan and...
Yeah, and on
Jason Bourne and other stuff.
Yeah, and he was doing... he had a contract at that point to do three... quote-unquote American movie, which were The Messenger, the story of Joan of Arc, The Crimson Rivers with Jean Reno, and Brotherhood of the Wolf. So that these three movies were part of a contract. And before and after that, you see really like he's doing French movies and stuff like that. And he never really went back to production that you guys would see on the big screens, more like... he wasn't the last Jason Bourne, I guess, but
yeah, sure,
that's pretty much it. But here, Vincent Cassel is a big star. I mean, he can't walk in the street
with a missing arm and then a secret arm.
Man, cut your fucking nails, bro.
I thought the same thing. It's not because it's growing that you can't keep it, you know, groom.
And every once in a while, you got to, you know, unhinge that beast. Yeah, whip it out. You figure you'd groom it.
Yeah.
Talking about his furry trout.
He had like a creepy baby hand in there.
Right? Oh, it's like the size of a spork.
It's funny because with retrospective, when I see that old end scene with the cult and all that, the only thing I can think of is Hot Fuzz, and I can't keep...
It's super Hot Fuzz or like Wicker Man or something like that. They're all hanging out in their secret society. There's a subplot here that is completely lost on me where Monica Bellucci is an agent of the Pope.
Right.
And there's something that like the beast is now representing the failure of the king to protect his citizens.
So the church can swoop in or whatever.
Right. But also they want to help, like they want to bring down this cult or whatever, but they also want to keep the beast thing going.
I don't think they knew exactly what.
Yeah, but she represents the Inquisition, basically, which was a big thing in these around these years and these parts. So, and they were
masquerading as a prostitute.
Yes, because the Inquisition was illegal, even into the church. They were declaring them illegal, but still working with them. So maybe that's a question of culture. For me, she was just like part of the natural politic of these parts and years.
Yeah. Monica Bellucci, also pretty good star that comes out of this film, although I think she's already doing stuff at this point. This is around Irreversible. What else is she in?
Well, again, these were the big star. Of
The Matrix, she's in the Matrix Reloaded, like right after.
Yeah, she was already a big star when she was cast in The Matrix and in this. Actually, the fact that they got her, Vincent Cassel, probably made her having her a little bit easier because they were already married at that point. So,
oh, that's right. I didn't know that.
What the fuck is up with the extendy bone sword nunchuck thing?
Mm-hmm.
Freaked me out a bit.
Hey, when you got your hand tied behind your back, man, you just want a bone.
But that is the... okay, yeah, right, true. But he only uses it with that hand.
He does, yeah. It's his thing. Kinda weird. You see in his lair, he's got all these bones, and there's a bone sword on the wall, and at first you just think it's like a spine or something. But then you realize it's his weapon.
Oh, I knew that was a sword right away.
Okay.
I didn't know it did the fucking extend-a-bobber thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were trying
to play with... Mr. Fantastic over here.
Right.
Well, I think they were trying to play with the Chekhov, I grow my arm, even if it didn't work that much.
Chekhov's magical little spice bracelet. Or I should say Manny's spice bracelet.
Oh, dear God, yes. That was
Pandora bracelet of resurrection.
Right.
I thought the same thing. How much does that Pandora thing? Like, revive people. Here you go, some fairy dust. I believe in fairy. Oh, I hate that.
All good. It is all good.
I'm kind of curious to see, because at this point, me and Beef seems to have seen the same movie, and he got like 20 minutes. Less.
Yeah, I don't know what I missed, because I had full... I mean, it was a solid 2 hours and 18 minutes.
Did you see the part where they're shooting at pumpkins?
Yes. And then they take a crossbow to the pumpkin, and then Manny pulls out some his other hatchet. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess the fights are a little bit shorter, because at the start of the movie, when they introduced the...
There's an extra part where he fights women. Is that in there?
Yep, he fights two chicks. Like two redheads or something, kind of gypsy-ish.
There's a whole thing where a girl is trapped in like a bog trying to get a sheep.
Yep, that's in there.
Okay.
But you know when we're introduced to the
this kung is great fu? Radio. What?
Yeah, when we're introduced to the kung fu.
Yeah,
in there's the very beginning. That super long fight, like not the very beginning, just after that, when they get there and they're about to go search for the beast with the whole village.
And they're like, "What's the commotion?"
Yes,
yeah, that fight was, and we fight can't club. I count that it's like 9 minutes.
Yeah,
no way.
Well, that's where probably some
and
of
then
the
they
minutes
took probably 4 minutes off of it. If that's seriously 9 minutes, it was probably 4 or 5 minutes on my end.
How about the part where they're in like the graveyard in the middle of the woods and there's a wolf and the girl wants to shoot the wolf, but he stops her and Manny's like, thank you. And he like talks to the wolf.
Talks to the wolf.
He like nods at it. He's like,
oh, yeah. He totally nodded at it. And the chick stormed off because there's like, oh, you both save us or whatever she said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I read. I don't know. Something. I didn't get to watch a lot of it because I was reading a lot.
You were reading. Yeah. It was a wordy movie.
Very wordy.
For once, for me, I just had to turn the subtitle off.
Good.
That was good for once watching a French movie.
Maybe two of these a year.
How is the French in this film?
Oh, it's so funny because I can hear the Quebec people trying to speak French from France, and it's not super great. And then you have a really real French actor walking in, which for him it's natural. It's very funny. We actually were like pointing out which actor was from here and which actor was from actual France. So
I come from France.
Well, imagine a bunch of people from Texas are trying to play a New York accent, but they never really had to. So they're dropped in New York and like, oh, yeah, do the accent like that. Oh. How that would sound?
Yeah, well, true.
That's what it sounded. It's the same. I think my example is pretty accurate, actually.
There's a great SNL sketch where I think it's Phil Hartman is an actual Frenchman. Well, there's a French class and they're on a field trip. They're like an American French class and they're on a trip to Paris. And the teacher is like trying to teach them how to speak French. And so they walk up to this Parisian and they're like, excuse me, what time is it? And the guy's like, vas-y. And the teacher's like, no. Il est huit heures. And he's like, no. Il est huit heures. Yeah.
Il est huit heures?
Il est huit heures. It's 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Right?
This was a French class of the week with wing and lobster.
Hey, there we go. We did it, folks. We solved it. Are you ready to rate this film?
Please, let's move on.
Is there a side order of, you know, like incest rape thing? Because, I mean, that's really bad.
I just put French dressing.
Okay.
Because they dress very French.
God.
So, Wing, for Brotherhood of the Wolf, are you going legendary?
Liberté, égalité, fraternité.
Legend of its time.
In the loo.
Cult legend.
Pecked Manny.
Awesome.
A French werewolf in Quebec.
Entertaining.
If I had both hands, I'd applaud you.
Mabel.
Too much noise, too much smoke, bad smell, or mauvais odeur.
Forgettable.
Jamais vu.
Abysmal.
Zack Snyder Film School.
Spring Breakers Highlander.
Teen Wolf 2.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of French dressing.
Oh, I'm just trying to decide how French I'm going to be. Dear God, I'm going to go Mabel. Too much noise, too much smoke, bad smell. Pis sans mauvais.
Mauvais.
But,
mauvais.
Yeah. That's a Star Wars quote, by the way. It's from, I thought it smells bad from the outside. Ils sont mauvais. Okay. The redeeming factor of the movie is the visual. The visual is beautiful, except that freaking beast. That CGI beast just looks like a reject. No, it looks like a reject from Hercules. Come on.
No, I like how the beast looks.
Anyway. But the visuals are beautiful. The story, and I like long telling story, like a Blade Runner style, which I can't wait to see the sequel or something. Like, I love movies that takes their time. This movie for me is a mess. It's not really subtle, so it's trying to give you curveball left and right, but the curveball never really go nowhere. So by the time you get your cheesy ending anyway, you're like, why did we went all over the place? So yeah, too much noise, too much smoke. Too much noise, too much smoke actually would pretty much resume why this movie is not at least entertaining to me or awesome. Because there is an awesome movie in there. There is an awesome idea and all that just not well executed. I almost chose Zack Snyder Film School because I don't think the movie is abysmal, but I think that's a good reference because Zack Snyder is a children of the Matrix. And again, you need to put back this movie in its time. And this is a very influenced Matrix movie. Someone in France was like, why can't we do that and make a history funny? And that's how they got there. So let's see how less French you are, Beef, since you watched 20 less minutes than us.
I got to go with, if I had both hands, I'd applaud you. Entertaining. even though I had to read it and I was kind of annoyed by it, and it was a bit of a hunt for me to find any copy, except for the library. Apparently there's a place that gives you stuff.
I know, recently. Stuff for free. Amazing.
Right. That's weird.
Legally.
So I had fun with it. Reading it kind of sucked a bit, but I got into it and I don't know. It was entertaining to say the least. It wasn't great. I won't revisit it. The CGI was pretty freaking bad. I was just giving Wing shit. I can't really say, Lobster, that was great CGI, but the Beast design was fun. I think if they would have executed it better. So, you know, tiger with spikes on it or whatever. They also gave that away in the beginning, too. They said it looks like a bear with fins on it or something. So, anyways, lobster?
Wow. I almost have to go a step above entertaining. Oh, but I don't know. Maybe if I'd watched a shorter cut of the film. So, it's funny because I have good memories of this movie. But now, looking back, I watched the extended cut and I was like, did I see any of this? Like, maybe I could remember three scenes from the film.
Oh, wow.
But I watched it like 15 years ago. And now watching it again, I'm thinking, do I remember any of this? But it's all there. And the extended cut, I think, just kind of extends it. Unfortunately,
yes, that's what it does.
It mistakes running time for adding plot, and it doesn't really add plot to the film, at least none that I can discern. That said, the film looks really cool. One of the things that I love about the movie is the score by Joseph Loduca. And he, in the early late 90s, did the scores for like Xena and Hercules. He did this film and later on did the music for the Spartacus series, the various iterations of Blood and Sand and Vengeance and whatever. He did the music for that.
The score in this is amazing.
And it's like, it's a little hokey like the rest of the movie, but it just like fits really cool with it. And one of the things that I really enjoy are films that do these kind of genre mashups, well, where they'll take very clear tropes of, you know, late Renaissance France and things like that, but also they'll work in kung fu and action and horror and all kinds of stuff. It works most of the time. It doesn't always work. There's also another thing we didn't talk about, which is this film is bookended by the French Revolution for no apparent reason, and they never really connect it with any meaningful... maybe you have to be French to get that.
It's in the 40 minutes that are on cutting room floor. You watch your DVD.
Okay, cool. So that's also kind of bookended. So it's like this memory of the Maquis remembering back on this time, his experience. So it's like narrated throughout the film. I don't know. I don't know if that's in the shorter film version. But again, I am going to give this... I'm going to agree with Beef. If I had both hands, I would applaud you. It is entertaining, but it is not quite awesome.
Wait. You started saying that you mostly forgot what happened 15 years ago and that you forgot what happened when you watched the movie 2 days ago. And you're not giving it forgettable?
He was still entertained.
Well, no. Okay. When I watched it, I had that sense of jamais vu, like I had never seen it, but it felt familiar.
Okay. Still think that there, you know what, that's ripe for a remake.
It is. Shut I think it up. Is I think you could definitely do you do could that. Say I mean you don't even have to remake this movie. You could go and say we're gonna do another version of the story of the Beast of Gévaudan,
and as long as they have
see
the
how
coat.
It turns out right,
as long as they have the coat. Everybody loves the coat from the first scene, and That was everything for a while. Yeah.
I liked Manny. I think Manny's the best part of the movie.
Yeah, Manny is pretty cool. Sorry, Wang. Last word on Le Pacte des Loups.
Je parle français.
Mauvais.
No hablo French.
Hmm. Okay. Well, we have a lot to get to. Beef, what time is it? Holy crap.
Sorry.
So we have a massive trailer dump to get to, but let's talk about a couple things first. First, Blade Runner 2049. Is this the return of the flop alert?
It's funny because Blade Runner is doing exactly what a lot of people were afraid that it would do, and it's doing but everybody says the movie is super good. And it's funny because in the first weekend it made like 37 domestically, but 50 internationally. And I don't know if it's open in every market, but
so it made 32.7 American, 50 worldwide, non-USA. It has not opened in China yet. They did announce a release date in China, but is this something that's going to have legs, or is it going to sink fast?
80 million isn't a good first weekend worldwide, or, you know,
for a $150 million movie?
You want to make $150 million, or at least $100 million. But
earlier last week, it was projected at 50 to 60 million U.S.
Oh, God.
So it did not open to the numbers. And I think also part of it has to be that it didn't bring in people who weren't already going to go see it, right?
So I'm gonna go farther than that.
It attracted an older male audience. It didn't attract young viewers. It didn't attract women, despite the fact that Harrison Ford and Ryan Gosling have both been People Magazine's sexiest man.
Do you think that's the release date? Because October is a flip of the coin. I mean,
this had come out in August, it would have kicked butt because there was shit all in August.
That's what I'm saying.
If this had had Dark Tower's release date,
and
Dark Tower had come out now,
that would have
Dark
been a
Tower
idea,
would
actually.
Have made $32 million, and Blade Runner would have made $70 million.
No, Dark Tower would have made way more money. You know why? Because it would come off the tail of it. And right now, everybody, for some reason, if you go online, everybody forgot that there's a lot of Stephen King adaptation that sucks. And they're all, what's the next thing?
Yeah.
We did Dark Tower 2 months ago and nobody gave the fuck. So it really depends what they adapt. But yeah, I don't think it's a bad investment for the studio because, of course, they'll make their money back on the long run. This is a movie that's going to become, at worst, a cult classic. With the kind of review he's getting, at worst a cult classic.
Yeah, so. I mean, it'll do basically what the first one did, which was flop it at the box office and then have people puzzle over it on DVD for years.
But did it get me out on Thanksgiving weekend? No.
Canadian Thanksgiving. Did you go see it?
No, the weather was crappy and I didn't really wanted to go get out of the house. So
I didn't go see it either.
A lot of people in Beefy, and we're all the demographic. We're all young male,
Yeah.
You know, male in their midlife and with money. So and we all love sci-fi. And I think we all love Blade Runner.
Yeah, sure. I like Blade Runner.
I definitely enjoyed it. I had no interest to go see it right away, first weekend.
Yeah, there you go. But I'm going to go see it next weekend during the week. So the question now becomes, how much legs does this movie have before something else like Justice League open?
I mean, first it's got to face Thor, which comes like the 1st or 2nd of November.
And I've heard that's phenomenal.
Yeah, so I think this one sinks. It is probably at the 3rd place on the box office this weekend. It'll sink to 5 the weekend after, and it'll be out of the top 10 by mid-November.
Listen here, Mr. Cynical Pants.
Sorry. I just don't see it. I just don't see it having good legs. Now, one of the things that's interesting is we talked about, is it going to do better than Arrival? It did 30% better than Arrival opening weekend. But Arrival had great legs because more people started talking about it. They got interested in it. It started getting nominated for things, and people kept going to see Arrival. So Arrival had this really long sort of slow tail that it kept making money weekend after weekend fairly steadily. I don't see that happening with Blade Runner.
On the other hand, have you been at work in the last couple of days? Everybody's talking about this movie in a way that you have to see it on the big screen. Don't talk about it.
We're on fall break, so I've barely talked to like 3 people this week.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. But that's kind of how it sounded at work. The point it was more like, okay, you need to see this.
The people
on the big
were
screen.
Talking about it. Was it people that had gone to see it? Or were they like, oh no, I heard it was good.
No. So 50-50, I would say. 50-50. And I work in a big, like, tower building with a lot of people, blah, blah. It's a certain demographic.
Kingsman was number one last weekend. It dropped to number five this weekend.
Nobody gave the fuck about
Kingsman. So I feel like Blade Runner, same trajectory.
Eesh.
Just saying.
I'm going to say number three.
Okay.
I say the little pony movie's going up a little bit.
Okay. There really isn't much opening next weekend. There's a movie here called Happy Death Day, and then that's pretty much it.
It's going to go up again, and that's what's going to happen.
So I have three news stories before we get to trailers. One, this was New York Comic Con weekend in New York City. A lot of trailers dropped, a lot of buzz, a lot of panels. One of the panels that didn't happen, however, was the Punisher panel for the Netflix series. Due to the Las Vegas shooting, Netflix pulled the panel, decided it wasn't appropriate.
Which is great.
Which is good. It also, the film or the series so far has an unannounced release date. The rumor is that Netflix is just going to release it one weekend without really making much of a to-do about it. And then there's thought now that maybe Netflix will push it back till maybe the start of next year due to the timing.
Oh, God, I'm going to receive a lot of bad email, but
no one emails you.
Yeah, you're right. But the best way to release this is just to release it and stop trying to wait for whatever moment they're right. waiting, because no offense, but if you look at the news, these things happen on kind of a regular basis.
So I would agree with that. My counter argument would be maybe don't make a film or a series about glorifying gun violence, because there isn't going to be a good time. There isn't going to be a good time to release that. You're always, like you said, going to have events like this in the news. So again,
and I'm not trying to diminish what happened.
No.
Not at all.
And I totally agree that I think part of what we have to look at is what's going to change first. Are we going to stop having these types of things happen, or are we going to change the way we, you know, relate to them in media and say, well, maybe, you know, we're not going to call a hero somebody that uses a gun or somebody that, you know, causes mass mayhem with firearms.
Still excited to watch it, but anyways.
Yo, I think it'll be fun too. But speaking of mass mayhem, here in the States, we had a special event at McDonald's, hearkening back to the time that we talked about the founder. Rick and Morty fans got a taste of Szechuan sauce.
Barely released a taste.
One day only by McDonald's, apparently in very limited quantities. The rumor was that there were only 20 packets per store that carried it. And so we had people like at an LA McDonald's rioting to get their taste, or rioting when they didn't get their Szechuan sauce.
Well, people rioted over McDonald's Szechuan sauce?
Rick and Morty fans.
Correct. Have you watched Rick and Morty?
I don't watch Rick and Morty yet. Dude, I know everybody tells me I should, but right now I don't have the time. It's on the list.
It's on the list. No, you need to start it soon. I was made to watch it. Someone kept telling me for months and months and months, and then I finally broke down last week, and I finished the whole first season. And today, before the cast, I finished season two, episode one and two. So they're 22 minutes, dude.
It's fun.
It's a high concept
sci-fi awesomeness.
One of the more multi-layered sort of takes on it. Yeah.
Listen, I watch more, I would say, sophisticated kind of movies these days, like Shark Knight. So it's, you know, you have these moments.
Careful. You thought you were going to get bad fan mail about the gun stuff. Piss off Rick and Morty fans.
Yeah, this is way more sophisticated than you think it is. It's way good. Yeah. Burp and dick and fart jokes and interdimensional fun.
My point is just
season one is dick and fart jokes. By season three, it is pure existential mindfuckery.
Yeah, but they're already starting that in season two.
While you're talking about that, I'm finishing the new season of Archer. That's on Netflix. So that's pretty good, too.
I got to watch that. I didn't get to that one. Okay.
Last thing, Creed 2, directed by Sylvester Stallone, Michael B. Jordan.
We kind of knew that at this point. So,
right when the last one finished, I think.
Sure.
And I'm okay with that because Stallone's a good director. He knows the material.
And you really like Creed, so.
I would have loved to have the same director continue, but on the other end, when you do Creed and Marvel calls, you're like, wait, sure, Black Panther? I'll do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so I don't blame the guy.
I think he's also doing a show for, I think it's Netflix as well.
Maybe.
Okay.
But I'm excited about this new Sylvester Stallone, the Rocky entry, let's be honest here.
All right.
Trailer massive. Dump.
Dump.
I should find a toilet flushing sound.
Let's keep the first one for the end because that's
going to be actually, let's move them around. Let's start with Pacific Rim.
Let's start at the bottom and work our way to the top.
Oh,
Fox, good idea.
At New York Comic Con, released trailer for X-Files Season 11. More aliens, more Smoking Man, the Lone Gunman make an appearance.
Looks like Smoking Men plural. Looks like there's younger ones now, too, to take the torch.
Flashback. Yeah, Mind If I Smoke? What do you think?
I'm excited. I love the last season. So
yeah, I had a conversation with somebody recently about the last season, which was like, what do you remember? And I was like, yeah, I only remember the werewolf episode.
I only remember the crossover with the other mini Agent Scully and Mulder.
Yeah, I remembered that later because I think he's in the trailer as well.
My favorite one was with the beast in the wood, and it's super cheesy. And kind of recalls
that's the werewolf one.
Werewolf,
That's what's his name from Flight of the Conchords.
There's only like six of them, right?
Episodes? And we had the guy come from Community too in the first two. That was great.
Yeah, I should rewatch that.
And the fact that we only had six, I think that's where X-Files got old very fast. It's like 24 episode season in the days, or 20 episodes a season. And on top of that, you had only a couple of episodes that were intertwined. TV was not there yet. So you give me six that are solid, like maybe four of the six were very solid last season.
How about 10? Good. This is going to be 10, I'll take season 10. 11.
That's what I want, is I want at least 8 or 10. You can't do your couple serial ones and your couple story ones together.
I'm good with 10, not 13 or 12. No, I think the Netflix model shows that you have those two or three episodes. That's too much. So, 10 is good.
Speaking of Stephen King adaptations, Castle Rock on Hulu. This is one that I am very excited for. This looks to be like a whole mashup of tons of Stephen King stuff. And I don't even know what
anthology or something like
I don't know, but I am so on board, and this trailer is fun and atmospheric, and there's almost no dialogue, and it just looks cool.
Yeah, for some reason I thought that was the documentary about the company Castle Rock.
Yeah.
Until I saw the Stephen King thing, so that I have no idea what that is. So,
I mean, what did we see in that trailer? Shawshank for sure
at the very end.
Yeah,
there are a few other things.
Yeah, like it looks weird and it looks fun. And kind of my hope for this is it's going to do what Stranger Thing does and just mashes up a ton of different elements from Stephen King, but tells kind of an original story with it.
I'd be excited. It might make me want to get Hulu along with the next one.
Yeah, kind of like Fargo. You know what Fargo does, which is these stories take place in the Fargo universe, but they're like separate. It's cool. Hulu's Runaways. This is another Hulu series. This is a Marvel comic that they're adapting. Also looks good.
For a second, I saw Runaway and my brain did not like put two and two together. So I just pushed play on the trailer. And I realized like mid-trailer, I was like, oh dear God, that's the X-Men spinoff. And it looks pretty good. It looks like the Runaways.
The Gifted is pretty good if you guys haven't seen that.
The Gifted is awesome.
I haven't watched a second episode yet, if it's out.
I did watch episode one. It's got Vampire Bill and a guy who looks like Oscar Isaac, but it's cool. It's way better than Inhumans, which is
Still haven't seen that.
Gotham is fucking good this season, too.
Get away from the Inhumans.
Yeah, Gotham is good.
I'm going to wait till that's over and then just binge it when I get sick or something.
Same.
It's because there's some episodes are very bad. But when you get to the good ones in the first couple of seasons, that's okay. Season 3 is really good, and season 4 starting. Season 4 is basically Batman Begins from Christopher Nolan, cut into pieces, and they're like, okay, we're going to do a season of that.
Cool.
But yeah, you have Ra's al Ghul and the Scarecrow and a young Batman in a non-Batman suit. So it's,
and it's Dr. Bashir from Deep Space Nine.
Oh, Star Trek is good too. I love Star Trek. I know every fanboy are bitching right now, but I love that show.
Let's check in real quick. So have you watched all of Star Trek Discovery that's aired?
Yes.
Okay. Beef, have you seen any of it?
No.
Okay.
So I'm more on the Orville.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Have you seen all of the Orville?
I might have one episode from my last that I haven't watched, but I think I should be up to date.
Okay. Did you watch the one with Imperator Furiosa in it yet?
Who? Wait, what? No, I have not.
Charlize Theron? No. Okay, cool. That's good. Wing, have you watched the Orville?
I watched the first episode and I checked out.
Okay.
Oh, it got way better.
So there's arguments for both. I think that Star Trek Discovery is going into new territory. Orville is in very familiar territory. I think both are doing it with mixed results, and both are worth watching.
I mean, I'll watch Discovery as soon as I can get it for not paying for it.
Yes, that is one drawback to Discovery.
Oh, I'm in Canada. That's why it's easy for me to watch.
Netflix. Fuck you. Is it on Space or Netflix?
I don't know. I don't have cable.
How are you watching it?
Netflix.
Okay. Yeah. Son of a bitch.
Another sequel I don't know if I wanted, but, I mean, we're getting it. Pacific Rim Uprising.
Okay. I loved Pacific Rim.
Like, loved it? Like, loved
it. Loved it. I think it is a fantastic movie.
Maybe I got to watch it again. Maybe I was
think there's a solid hour and a half in the first Pacific Rim, and there's 45 minutes of stuff that should be heavily edited.
I kind of agree. I kind of agree. There's some pacing issues. There's some parts and characters that don't fit. But Pacific Rim Uprising is like the next generation. It's all young characters. One of them is John Boyega from Star Wars playing Idris Elba's son. I think it looks awesome.
That's why they get me, because my boy John Boyega is in there. And I'm going to see whatever he's playing in now.
I'll see it, because we'll probably have to see it for the show. But then what do they break it down to?
Looks like Transformer.
Yeah. Kaiju fighting.
It's fucking... Well, it's Power Rangers, basically, but big robots again. Right. And then now they all form together like Transformers.
There's two parts of
stuff
going on in this trailer. One is that the Jaegers are fighting each other. So, like, the implication is that after the Kaiju are no longer a threat, the countries that have the Jaeger technology use them militarily against each other.
Right.
Of course.
And then there's another...
Or it's a new sport.
The Kaiju return, so then they have to team up again and work together, but now the Kaiju can combine to become even bigger. So how are you going to fight that?
Dinobots.
Yes.
But yeah, it's all cheesy concept, but if the movie is tighter than the last one, I think that could be good. And
true.
Again, I know I'm a whore, but I love John Boyega, and he looks to enjoy himself in this movie.
We liked the Power Rangers movie, so
damn it, you're right.
And that had almost no Zord fighting giant monster, so if this... I don't know. I just think it's fun.
Now I'm going to see something awful.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. I'm going to see something awful, but I rewatched the Power Ranger movie, and it was way better in theater. On my TV, it was more like, okay, it's an okay movie, but in theater, I was like, oh, God.
In the theater, you're trapped, and you have nothing to distract you, and you're like, oh, this is actually kind of good. At home, you're like, oh, what's on my phone?
I still like the movie a lot, but I think the three-story screen helps a lot when you watch giant robots.
High hopes for Justice League. I have them now. I wouldn't say high hopes.
I don't like
that trailer. Yeah, that song was weird.
Is he coming back this one, obviously, Superman?
No, it's all a dream.
We don't know. There's a lot of...
We know Henry Cavill's in the movie because they had to CGI remove his mustache.
Yeah.
And so, they actually have like a poster with him on it
The thing that kind of bothers me about this trailer
how much red and blue there is in it
is how much fucking shit is exploding. Like, one of my complaints about Wonder Woman, which there were very few complaints that I had, but one of my complaints was, at the end, it's just shit exploding.
Nah.
This looks like
it starts with shit exploding.
A lot of shit exploding. Like, I don't think they've learned their lesson from Batman v Superman, Man of Steel, even Wonder Woman. At the end of the movie, if everything's exploding, if everything is on fire, then the audience just goes, ooh, everything's on fire. What's happening? So from a Crimson Comet perspective, I think Ezra Miller looks cool as the Flash. I like that he's stoned. I like that Aquaman also seems to be stoned. I think that'll work great.
Just Aquaman is fucking awesome in this.
Just have all your characters be stoned and saying, my man. So do that. I don't know about Cyborg, but we'll see. And Wonder Woman, thought we kept saying all along that the new trailer needs to focus more on Wonder Woman. They didn't really do that. They opened with Lois Lane. Again, I don't know.
Yeah, but they opened with that score, which, come on.
Was the one thing that people liked about Man of Steel.
The score, come on. And Henry Cavill.
Zimmer. Ha ha.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not my favorite trailer. I think I preferred the one before. But it sells what the movie is supposed to be pretty well. I see the Joss Whedon influence.
I think Come Together was a better song choice. I don't think The We Can Be Heroes was any good.
No, but like I said, I see the Joss Whedon influence a little bit more. And like just Ezra Miller, that joke about the bat signal, that smells like Joss
Whedon.
That's
your signal. Oh, wait. Oh, sorry. We got to go.
Yeah, that's funny and all, but you see that's probably the change of the shift of tone they were looking for. The only problem that I find with this is, okay, I think that's clear that I'm a hardcore movie fan. DC movie fan and DC comic fan. I'm not that excited about that movie.
Okay.
I mean, there's a Star Wars movie coming
up. Way more excited for Thor Ragnarok.
But for a way different reason. Is that the reaction for Thor Ragnarok are out. So the people who saw the movie, all the critics, can do a small reaction on
Twitter. Yeah, but I've been pro that movie since the first trailer.
I didn't know who Taika Waititi was. And then I watched, what was the name of
the
movie?
What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows. And when I watched that and rewatched the trailer for Thor Ragnarok, I was like, oh dear God, okay, now I want that movie. And everybody's saying, all the critics saying, this is a Taika Waititi movie. If you like the humor in What Happened in the Shadows,
very,
you're
very excited.
This. So I'm more excited about that because there's going to be some director imprint.
Last but not least, you guys, within the past 12 hours, we received, 24 hours now, we received the trailer for Star Wars, The Last Jedi, and I bought my tickets. You guys?
Can't buy tickets here yet.
The implications are awesome and scary.
So Rian Johnson said, if you want to go in completely clean, don't watch this trailer.
Shit.
So, we all watched the trailer. We're fucked. Let's talk about it at the same time,
let's take these words. If you don't want to get there completely clean, don't watch a trailer. Beef, if you don't want to get to the bar completely dirty, don't walk in the mud. And I mean, that's pretty much what he said. So,
well, the implication is that there is stuff in the trailer that is a spoiler. We may not have the context to know that it's a spoiler, but it's in there.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of manipulation in this this trailer.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Do you think there's always
are we gonna talk about it for a second? Do we want to break down a little bit?
Let's break do down. That.
Okay.
Let's do that breakdown thing.
Do you know the when he's talking Kylo Ren voiceover when he is flying the ship and you think he's talking about killing
You got to let go of your past.
Right. I think he's talking to... That's a voiceover taken from later in the scene when he's talking to Rey.
Oh,
Okay. I think that too, and I don't think at the moment where he's about to shoot and that shot of Leia are he's meant to be together.
Blow up his mom's starship.
I still think he might kill his mom. He killed his dad. I'm just saying. His mom's not far off, bro.
First of all, I don't think they would show that in a trailer. Second of all, I think the editing is made for us to jump to that conclusion. But look at the background behind Leia that's like trying to like go in the force. We seem like trying to reach in the force. Everybody's super relaxed. They're not in a combat situation whatsoever. They're on a base somewhere.
The sirens are not going off.
I don't think they're under radars at that point. So that's why I'm saying about trickery. The same thing that when we see the voiceover of Rey at the end, where she's like, I need someone to help me. And we see Kylo give the end to help.
Yeah.
Well, in the background, there's fire on one side, and on the other side, it's a cavern.
Yeah.
It's clearly not the same scene.
Oh, I don't know. Don't lie to
me
here.
There's a lot of time going by. So in one, Kylo has the huge scar with like the black Band-Aid on it, and then his scar is healed later on.
What the fuck about the Band-Aid?
I like that. I think that's a future way
to make it look better. What if...
Okay. All I want to talk about is Porg.
I want an ice fox too.
I also want a crystal fox, but yeah. Porgs, man.
Okay.
I don't know what's the deal with the Porgs. I mean, we saw them scream once. They're cute. Okay. Let's move on now. They're cute.
It's this one's little weird short door gunner. Listen.
I want a friggin' kitten penguin, okay? Just leave me alone.
A penguin?
Let's see, what else? Luke is super freaked out by everything. Does he have PTSD?
I think he tried to train Kylo Ren and took that oh, I do everything great. I'm going to do that great. And that
fucked it up.
Yeah, so when he comes to her and she's like taking the cliff out of his mountain and he's like, Yeah, I'm good. Have a great life.
He doesn't think fucking pushing her away is going to be bad.
Yoda was ready to do the same.
She goes to the dark side, and then that's why it's the Last Jedi, because now they all are Snoke. Sith.
Supreme Leader Snoke is going to be in the film. Captain Phasma is back. Poe is back. Finn is back. Chewie's
back. Captain Phasma and Finn are having that showdown finally, that we all wanted.
And then they're going to make out.
What?
Ew.
Yeah, I think so.
For real?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I think there's a chance that we get a couple of Kylo Ren and Rey, which they would be like a balanced couple. Yeah, that would be
bro and sis.
I don't think they're bro and sis.
I think so. Totally.
I don't think the parentage of Rey is in the lineage of the Skywalker.
Leia's secret, man. She had twins and didn't tell nobody.
I think she is the new one, the new, like, a little bit like Anakin.
Oh, midichlorians are her dad?
Yeah. And her mom is kind of not really important. And the fact that the two lineage are coming together and create, like, a balance because you have one on the dark side and one on the light side.
So they have a baby that's super bipolar and ruins everything.
And maybe that's you, Jesus.
It's a Porg.
The Porg, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm excited for that shit too. So
yeah, me too. I bought my tickets as soon as I could.
You're such a nerd.
And I just want to say something because I've listened to a lot of reviews of the trailer and stuff like that, and everybody's referring to one thing that pissed me off. They're seeing Kylo Ren in his ship, and they're like, "Oh, he inherited some granddaddy." Fighter skill or flying pilot skill. I'm like, no, his father is Han Solo. What the fuck are you talking about? I know Vader was a good pilot, but Han Solo was the best pilot in the galaxy. Come on. So I just wanted to put the record straight because that's been pissing me off for hours.
I can dig it.
I have listened to absolutely no one talk about this trailer. So,
well, yeah, you did. Just a couple of idiots.
All my thoughts are my own.
All right, guys. Next time, Legends Podcast. Lobster gets married and misses Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors.
Yeah, I won't be here.
Congratulations, Lobster, preemptively.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, because you're not missing. If one day we do Death Note, you're going to be there to hate on it with us.
Sure, absolutely. I promise.
So yeah, we're doing my favorite, kind of my favorite horror movie, which is weird because it's full of humor.
It's funny because this is the one Nightmare on Elm Street film that I haven't seen that I would most want to watch. But I won't be here.
Well, you can watch it and bring notes.
I could bring it on my honeymoon. That would endear me to my bride.
She'd love it.
No, I already asked. She said no way.
All right. Well, this has been episode 343 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying Brotherhood of the Wolf.
I'm John D saying have nice dreams.
And I'm Lobster saying Brotherhood of the Porg.
Also, Lobster, you know, you still have 1 week to change your mind about getting married.
No, I have like four days, dude.
Yeah. Oh, well, then.
And also not changing my mind.
Math was never good, my friend.
It's true.
Then by the time this is out, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, GunnaGeek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.